Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you, and welcome to Face to Face. We're glad to have you with us today and hope that everything is going well for you, particularly as we head into the holiday season. And we have with us today, we have an interview that is pretty unique. The sports part of it kind of takes a back seat to this man. John Shinsky is the name of our guest today, and I got to tell you a story about John. In 1972, I moved to Lansing, Michigan, and through a series of events, working for a group called Youth for Christ, working with kids, I took kind of it wasn't a job, just kind of a side volunteer venture to start a Bible study with a number of athletes. And one of the first athletes that I ever met in 1972 on the Michigan State campus was John Shinsky. John Shinsky and a couple of other guys, a couple of track stars, a hockey player. I think we had maybe one basketball player. About five of us got together. We had the quarterback from the Michigan State football team in 1972. We got together and we put together a group and called it FCA, called it the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, although quite honestly, we were not an authorized FCA chapter, but they kind of let us use their name. And from out of this group of five guys, it grew to be a tremendous group. And one of the guys, as I said, was John Shinsky, one of the starters. He was an offensive lineman, I believe, for the Michigan State football team. And John had a huge heart. John was a young Christian, and he had a huge heart. And quite honestly, a little rough around the edges. But John was used by the Lord and some others, and we went on and had a great time at Michigan State. Move ahead to the last year, 2015. That's quite a ways from 72. That's 43 years? And John Shinsky and I got together again because he's got a fabulous story about taking over an orphanage in Mexico. And he'll tell you the story when we get into the interview. But John Shinsky and I crossed paths again when a year ago I was at the Michigan State-Iowa Big Ten Championship football game, and I saw that John was honored at halftime. And I thought to myself, I got to get together with this guy, and we got to talk, and I got to see if he even remembers me from that long time ago. And certainly he did. We got together. We did this interview. And the interview is what you're going to hear today. John Shinsky is our guest, former football player from Michigan State University, and now certainly a man of God. We will take a break, and when we come back, you'll hear more from John Shinsky of Michigan State University. So don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. All right, welcome back to Face to Face. Our guest is John Shinsky, a former academic All-American football player at Michigan State University back in 1970 to 1973. He's now the Assistant Dean of Education at Grand Valley State University. And more importantly, what we want to talk about today, he's also the head of the City of Children Orphanage in Matamoros, Mexico. John, thanks for coming back to old time. It's just amazing that you and I, we knew each other from 40 years ago.
Yeah, it is amazing, but it's my pleasure to be here, and it's great to see you.
Let's talk about Michigan State football a little bit. You were a lineman here in Michigan State, played for the legendary Duffy Doherty from 1970 to Doherty left, and then you played Denny Stoltz. Tell me about what your memories are of Michigan State University football when you think back over 40 years now.
I think probably the thing that comes to mind right away is family. You know, when I was recruited to Michigan State, one of the things that attracted me to this university were the people. It was the coach Duffy Doherty was a humanitarian, a good person. He adopted a child. I happened to come from an orphanage, so I was kind of in tune with that type of thing. I was in a foster home and ended up going to a Catholic high school and got a football scholarship, you know, to many possibilities to different institutions, University of Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio State, et cetera. And, but when I came here, I felt that human element that I didn't feel at the other universities. And I also just fell in love with the campus. And other players that were being considered to go to Michigan State were just down-to-earth, great people who were interested in not only being an athlete, but also being great people. And it's amazing how that's permeated throughout our entire lives. I mean, we are just like family today as we were back then, and that's the thing that I think of the most.
Let's talk about your story. It's an incredible story. Most Michigan State football players, anybody playing Division I football now, come from families where they spend so much time and get it really is a lot of the perfect situation in many cases. You came out of an orphanage in Cleveland, and you had a family that adopted you. Tell me a little bit about, I think it was the Weiss family that adopted you.
Yes, it was the Weiss family.
Tell me about them. Tell me how you came from this orphanage in Cleveland and with this family playing for Cleveland St. Joseph High School, and what you had to go through to get good enough to come to Michigan State.
Well, I lived in Lorain, Ohio, and my father was married prior to my mother and had seven children. And his wife died, and then he married my mother and had me. He was quite older, and he ended up dying of a heart attack when I was 8 years old. At that time, I was a real rambunctious kid. I mean, I was all over the place and doing things and running around. And my half-brothers and sisters were much older and into all kinds of other things that weren't the greatest things. And my community was a tough community. And my mother had to make a tough decision. And that was, is she going to keep me in the community or is she going to give me up? And she made the decision to give me up. And at that point, when she gave me up, she sent me to an orphanage in Parma, Ohio called Parmadale. And I went to there for a few years, and then all of a sudden, that's where the nuns ran that orphanage, and it was your typical old orphanage
old
setup.
School.
Yeah.
Heavy discipline.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tough discipline. But then one day, I ended up having a family that wanted me to come as a foster child, so I actually went to them as a foster child, and I went into a Catholic elementary school in Lyndhurst, Ohio. And then, you know, I had my ups and downs and challenges and so on and so forth, even to the degree that the family felt, wow, this is a tough challenge. And the social worker came and told him, look, you know, John's really a rambunctious kid. Why don't you get him into things that will keep him active and get me into sports and things like that? And they did. And that's what started my sports career. I played baseball, and then the next thing you know, I went to a great high school, which was Cleveland St. Joseph High School, and that's the thing that just changed my life. Mm-hmm. Catholic education, good coaches, good teachers, which is tremendous. And I ended up playing football, wrestling, and track, and just excelled in each of those sports. I was the captain. And then I was a captain of the football team, and then scholarships started coming in relation to across the country, and that's when I ended up choosing Michigan State.
When you got to Michigan State, of course, you came to a legendary program, and when people are here, you pretty much football 24/7 and mm-hmm. your classes, but mm-hmm. you had a dream even when you were here at Michigan State to someday start an orphanage. Isn't that true?
Well, I did have that dream, but it evolved over time. When I came here, my expectation was I was going to play professional football. Mm-hmm. And when I played in the old days, you couldn't start on the varsity until your sophomore year. Mm-hmm. So there were three of us that started our sophomore years. One was Joe DeLaMalier, who went on to the NFL and played with the Buffalo Bills.
I believe he's in the Hall of Fame now.
He is in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, he played 14 years and blocked for O.J. Simpson and that whole group. They had the electric company and all mm-hmm. that. The other person that started as a sophomore was Brad Van Pelt, mm-hmm. who, again, was an all-pro player in the NFL, went with the New York Giants and was a star. And then it was me. So the three of us started as sophomores. And my expectation was I was going to play professional football. Started, played, was captain of the co-captain of the team at Michigan State, was an All-American. But I had three knee operations, mm-hmm. and I had one back operation. And when it got down to going into the NFL, at that point, they started the World Football League, and the World Football League talked to me about playing, but, you know, the NFL was concerned about my injuries. But they wrote into my contract, the NFL contract, that if my knee gets hurt, it would be due to previous injury, and they don't have to pay me. Hmm. So at that point, I had to make a decision. I knew that I could play 4 years and get a pension, and I really thought, you know, coming from an orphanage and having nothing, and I thought that would be a good way to go. But I realized it wasn't, because I would have several more knee operations and I probably wouldn't be able to walk when I'm 30. Yeah. So at that point, when I chose not to play professional football, I went back to the orphanage to see the kids where I came from. And when I saw those kids in that orphanage and remember what I lived in, I said, "Dear God, I've been so blessed to be able to go to an orphanage, to go into a foster home, to get a college degree, to play football." I said, "Someday I want to build an orphanage for kids like me." And I left there. And I continued to pray and try to look for options to be able to do that. And I did all kinds of service work in our own personal community with Camp Highfield, Special Olympics, incarcerated youth. I became a teacher. I was a special ed teacher. I became the director of special education in Lansing Public Schools. And I served. But it was right around 1999, I was consulting in Brownsville, Texas, and I was flying on a plane down there to do some consulting, and I sat next to a young man on the plane, and I said, "What are you doing?" "Oh," he says, I'm going to do service learning down in Mexico at this orphanage." He said, "It's awful. They have rats and everything." And I said, "Well, why don't you send me something on it?" So he sent me something on it. I flew down to Mexico. I sat down with the people, and I looked at the orphanage, and I said to them, "You know, what can I do to help you?" Thinking they're going to say food and clothing and things like that. And they said, "We need a new orphanage." And when they said that, I knew that was a calling. Yep. I knew nobody in Mexico. I never even heard of Matamoros, Mexico. That's it. And so I ended up taking students from Michigan State down there, friends down there. We built five buildings and gave it to the people who were there who already had the orphanage. And then I was done. Then a businessman from Matamoros, Mexico called me and he said, "You know, I really appreciate what you've done down here. If I donate 17 acres of land, will you build an orphanage from the scratch?" And I said, "Yes, we'll do it." And that's when it started.
That's when it started. We've got more to this story, including many ways in which God has directed John Shinsky. But we'll take a break right now and be back. You're listening to John Shinsky, my guest, and you're listening to Face to Face. We'll take this break and be right back. Welcome back to Face to Face. Our guest is an old friend, John Shinsky, who helped me start Fellowship of Christian Athletes in 1972 on the campus of Michigan State University, and both of our lives have evolved. But we're talking about John today, and John, I know God has been right in the middle of this, particularly I just have to believe that was no coincidence that you sat next to that young man on a plane. Tell me how God has directed you in what is really a tough area. Matamoros, Mexico is tough.
Yes, Matamoros, Mexico is tough. And many of the things that I went through in my life were tough. But the important, common denominator of it all is God was there all the time. And I really believe my calling was to do the work I'm doing right now to support this orphanage. So everything that I did throughout my life, I think even going into the orphanage and being an orphan myself and going, you know, all through those different situations. But the most meaningful thing to me is having the opportunity to be able to serve, and that When I was working in the Lansing Public Schools, sorting out what was going to happen with the rest of my life, I had a secretary there named Jerry Richardson, who was a pastor of the original Church of God in Battle Creek, and she was building a church, and she came in every day saying, I prayed to God, and I got this, and I prayed to God, I got that, and I prayed to God, and I got this, and I said, Dear Jerry, I said, I'd love to have that happen to me someday. Well, I can tell you with this orphanage project, it has happened. I have had miracle after miracle after miracle. Even to the degree when I started the orphanage, I had no sense of how much it would cost to build this orphanage. And as I was building it with what I had, a few thousand dollars here, a few thousand dollars there, I realized in order to build it more than what I can, I need more money. And I had $4,000 at that point, and I've never done this before. I put it into a penny stock, and it turned into $65,000. Mm. I turned that money right over to the Capital Region Community Foundation, and that became the seed money to start the orphanage. And I've had a situation happen so many different times. And it's interesting the comment you made earlier about coincidence. And I know when I say to people about miracle after miracle, and you might say, well, oh, that was a coincidence. Oh, no, that was a coincidence. Well, my question was, how many coincidences have to happen before it's a miracle? And then I got the message a few weeks ago when someone said, let me give you the definition of coincidence. The definition of coincidence is God being invisible.
Right.
And then I realized that's exactly the definition that applied to me.
And you have sacrificed so much. In fact, what was it, 2005, I believe, or 2007 perhaps, you rode a bike, rode from Lansing to Matamoros, I guess.
That's correct.
And tell me about this bike ride.
2009, September 5th of 2009. We're getting ready. We finished the orphanage, and now we're going to open the orphanage. And I wanted to have a grand opening. So I thought, I want to publicize this more. It's been publicized locally, but I want it to get publicized nationally. So I thought that it would be great if the three players who were sophomores that started at Michigan State, Joe DeLamelier, Brad Van Pelt, and myself, we, as a team, now ride our bicycles all the way down to Mexico in celebration of opening up this orphanage. Well, Brad said to me, I don't really feel like I can do it, John. I don't think I'm in good enough shape. And, oh, come on, Brad. No. He said, no. And thank God, within a month or two after that, he passed away of a heart attack. Mm. So I had my other friend go with us, who was L.J. Bowron, who was a former director of the Secret Service. So it was Joe DeLamelier, L.J. Bowron, and myself rode our bicycles from Michigan State Stadium, the green and white game, all the way down to Mexico to open up the orphanage.
And as we said, the orphanage continues. Tell me what it has grown into now. This is not just one little orphanage you've got, but tell me about how many kids you got and some of the things that are happening in your orphanage.
Well, we started with 9 children. And we have served over 120 children. We're going on our 7th year of being open. And the most beautiful thing about it is, once it got started with the orphanage and we were getting ready to hire people, my wife and I, Cindy, went down there. And as a matter of fact, when we got married at the beginning of the orphanage opening, frankly, I told her I was going to take her down to the Marriott in Matamoros, Mexico to get married. And it was down there to work at the orphanage. But she's got that kind of heart, too, which is important. God blesses you with the people you need to surround you and support you. And Cindy's definitely there. But we went ahead and we rode the bike down. We ended up getting these buildings going, and then we were set to open it, and I felt a lump in my neck that I, thought was just something there. And the next thing you know, I checked with the doctors, and it was neck cancer. So I had to go in and get treatments. I had to get chemotherapy, and I had to get radiation for 7 weeks, and lost my taste and everything else. So I wasn't able to do the things I needed to do at the orphanage. But that, again, many times you think that things that go bad, they really are good. And it was really a blessing, another blessing from God, because what I did is I called a lady in Arizona who was going to give us money for the orphanage. And I said, look, will you please make sure our kids get this money? And she says, John, they'll get the money. But then she said to me, I heard about this organization called Friends of the Orphans out of Chicago. You ought to talk to them. I went to talk with them. I said, what do you do? They serve orphanages with Nuestros Pequeños Hermanos that has orphanages in 9 countries throughout Latin America. And they said it's housed, their headquarters is housed out of Mexico. And I said, well, I'm in Mexico. So then I said, how can I learn more? And they said, just call down there. So I called down there. They said, if you want to know more, come down and see us. I went down to see them. I sat down with them. I saw everything they were doing. They had 800 children in that orphanage. They had orphans running the orphanage. I finally said, I don't want to hear any more about what you do. I want to hear about how we collaborate together. At that time, God blessed us to say, you know what? Talk to Father Phil, who runs the whole place. I talked to Father Phil. He said, we've never done this before, but since you're a former orphan, you built this building, let's see if we can go ahead for 3 years and work together. We'll run everything and we'll work with you. And after that 3-year period, we'll become one. But you have to pay for everything. And I've been paying, Cindy and I have been paying for everything, doing all kinds of fundraisers every year. And now we've been open 7 years. And the most beautiful thing about it is we've got 9 kids now who have graduated from high school. And this year, out of all the kids that are part of NPH, Nuestros Pequeños Hermanos, in Mexico, there were 75 graduates. 5 of them were our kids. And Leslie, one of our girls, was the valedictorian of the class.
That's awesome. And you've gotten some recognition now, too. 2015, this past year, you get the Dungy Thompson Award. Tell us about this award, what that means, what kind of an award it is, and what does it mean?
Well, this is the Big Ten Conference Humanitarian Award. And frankly, what it means to me is it's just an indication of the many people who support us to be able to make this happen. This really isn't my award. You know, it's a recognition of a family of people who have come together to build a successful orphanage and run it. I see the true heroes of the orphanage are the orphans that are there running it each and every day. Cindy and I do a lot of work. I get down there every 6 to 8 weeks. I am totally involved. I have the fundraising. We're doing everything. But these awards are only recognitions that I think bring to the forefront the value of human service. And the thing that it does most meaningfully for me is the fact that it brings attention to younger people so that they can see how people have used their lives to serve others. And I hope that the value of this award is that other young people will see what's been done and try to emulate that by serving other people. And you'd be surprised at the number of young people who followed our bike ride, who, when I talked about miracles before, I left the orphanage one time, and as soon as I was leaving, our leaders there said, John, we need some more shoes for kids. I said, fine. I came back here. Cindy said, we have an event at a high school tomorrow here in the Lansing area where we present information on the orphanage. We went there with the different groups that were there, which were the United Way and different groups. At the end of that session that we were there sharing about the orphanage, a lady pulled me to the side and said, can I talk with you? And I said, sure. And she brought me over. I don't even know the lady. She pointed to the ground and said, can you use these? And the entire floor was full of brand new shoes for children. So we took those shoes, started boxing them up to send, and there was a young man there that was working with us that was putting the shoes in there. And he says, what are you doing with these shoes? I said, well, we're putting them together. We're sending them to our orphanage in Mexico. He said, you have an orphanage in Mexico? I said, yes. He says, really? I said, yeah, really. He says, here. And he said, my mom just bought me these shoes. He took them off and he said, take my shoes for the orphans. And that's the attitude that these young people have. And when you talk about awards, you talk about recognition, it's my belief that these are special seeds of service that our young people have to see the value of. And they are tremendous in that area.
John, it's been a real pleasure getting back together with you again after all these years. After almost 40 years.
Yes.
But just to see what's happened in your life and to see how God has directed. We usually close this way. I don't know if you have a favorite verse or anything like that or anything that comes to mind, but I know that, if nothing else, I know that God really is directing your life.
God's been a significant part of my life, and I feel so blessed to be chosen to do what I do. So I thank God every single day for all the gifts I have, and it's been a blessing to be able to serve and to continue to serve.
John, thanks for being a part of our show. We appreciate it, and good luck. We'll try to continue to pray and support you in the best way we can.
Thank you. All right. I do have a saying.
Yes.
For there go the grace of God, go I.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. John Schitzky, former academic All-American with the Michigan State University, and now the leader of the City of Children Orphanage in Matamoros, Mexico. We'll take a break and be back, so don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Hope you enjoyed our time with John Schitzky. We certainly did, and just recently, quite honestly, I reconnected with another player from Michigan State University, a guy that I hadn't seen since 1979. I lived in Lansing from 1972 to 1979 and had a ministry there with a number of not just football players, but athletes. But got a chance to meet another football player, Kenny Robinson, who played on that Michigan State University team in 76, 77, 78. Played baseball, too. Actually, was the left fielder on a team that had Kirk Gibson, who went on to have fame with the Dodgers, with the Detroit Tigers, manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks for a while. And we had a chance to talk again. So it's really been a wonderful time, and it's amazing how God brings people together. Well, if you enjoyed this interview and you want to hear some more interviews, if you are tuned in to the radio, check out our website at facetofaceradio.com. That's where we have a number of interviews and we have stories up there. We've got Tracy Hansen's devotional, and we've always tried to put some new things up there occasionally. But check out particularly the new interviews that we have, and just be encouraged by what God is doing in the sports world. I know that we certainly are encouraged by that. Well, we want to close today. Again, facetofaceradio.com. Want to make sure that you get that in there. Again, we close today with a verse from the book of Deuteronomy. We don't do a lot from the book of Deuteronomy, but Deuteronomy 33:27 says this: "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." Just a small verse there from Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27. That's about it for us. We look forward to having you back next week. We'll have another Christian athlete. Till then, this is Tom Russ saying, remember this, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Face to Face with Tom Rust. For a free copy of today's program or for more information, please write to Face to Face Ministries, P.O. Box 125, Columbus, Indiana 47202. Or call Face to Face Ministries at 812-376-3000. Or toll free at 1-800-479-0952. You can also find us on the web at facetofaceradio.com. Join us again next week as Tom Rust goes face to face.